This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Globe Life Field getting you ready for the series finale of Rangers A's. I'm going to need a win today to go ahead and split that series. Mm-hmm. Interesting, we've already seen Corey Seager out there taking some batting practice.
Dude, can you imagine being one of these kids that showed up for weather day and you're like,
oh my God,
the weather, we got to talk about this. Then all of a sudden, Corey Seager's out there taking like live BP by himself.
Yes.
So he's got a pitcher on the mound, and it looked like they had two, one from the right, one from the left. So he got work from both sides there. And you get to watch Corey Seager just crush. And that's got to be an awesome thing to be one of those kids today. I mean, I'm an adult, and I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, we need to talk about something decidedly not awesome.
That is true.
That we saw at PNC Park. And somebody sent this to us when I watched it, and I was like, is that real?
Yeah, it was our buddy Trey.
And Bobby Kay is the person who picked up the video. This guy, he flipped over and fell onto the field, essentially onto the warning track at PNC, like in the middle of a play while the Pirates were driving in a run, maybe two runs, but a run. And then all of a sudden, you see what's happening out on the warning track, and people started to panic. And then they got the stretcher out there, and there was an ambulance, and the players took a knee. And it was just like all this chaos.
It's weird because the dude stands straight up.
Yeah.
It looks like he got pushed straight over.
Yeah.
Nobody touched him.
Yeah.
Like, this dude just stands straight up and flops right over. That was the weirdest thing I've seen.
So this is a little tricky because there is so much, like, false information that gets circulated quickly. Like, we talked about it a few weeks ago. I can't tell you how many people that, like, I follow or know posted that Jason Kidd had gotten fired by a faux Shams account. And I was like, no. Yeah, exactly. And so I did think when I saw it that it looked like he did not have a shirt on. And I know some people have speculated that he jumped. Here is one supposed eyewitness report that has been circulated by some people I trust. And so I think I'm inclined to agree with it. I was sitting five rows behind that guy. He was drunk. The inning before, he ripped his shirt off and poured half a beer all over himself. He jumped up from his seat when the Pirates got the hit, which we talked about was going to score runs. And he jumped up so quick while being drunk, he literally propelled himself off the ledge. He didn't do it on purpose. No one pushed him. He was there with his girlfriend, a friend, and another lady. Like, so that's probably, like, if for the people who thought maybe he had jumped, you're probably, I would hope, don't commit suicide, first of all.
Right.
But you probably wouldn't plan it with your friends around.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah.
And so I wanted to bring this up just so we can talk about it. But also, I have to tell you, I'm actually surprised this doesn't happen more often. So you go back to last month, Jess and I, we went to the Prudential Center to watch Duke not choke away a massive lead. And that didn't happen until the next game. And so,
sorry.
The steps in the upper deck of the Prudential Center, man, it felt like if you had to walk down those steps, you would be walking down like at a shocking degree. And then we were lucky enough to be in the front row, and the glass is maybe at your knees, mm-hmm. maybe a little higher. And Jess was like, no, I don't like this. This is my nightmare. And I get the tough balancing act, because if you're sitting in the front row of whatever section and, you know, on the bottom of the field, like Globe Life Field where we're at right now, they have a lot of netting around so you don't get, like, smoked with a foul ball. But if you're in the second or third level, there are bars there, but not bars that would prohibit anybody from potentially falling over. But that's the tricky part. Like, you can't build a giant barrier so you're like, oh, yeah, I got to sit in the front row and look in between the bars mm-hmm. for the entirety of the game, or look in between the glass for the entirety of the game. And so I know that's why they keep it lower, but that's another reason. I'm actually surprised this doesn't happen more often.
Yeah, I mean, and the reason they do certain things is because people either aren't paying attention or people have had accidents and they need to secure themselves for those accidents. Was it up to code the correct way? I believe, Kevin, when the new ballpark, the old ballpark, initially got here, there was a woman taking a picture and she was kind of sitting on the edge and she fell over. And yeah. if I believe correctly, after that, the Rangers said, we have to adjust our... those things, we have to raise them up. And so I think they went just above the knee to the thigh. But before that, it was at the shin. And it was like, man, you could definitely walk down. Kevin, you ever been out at AT&T and been in the cheap seats?
Yes.
And I know the seats aren't cheap there, but...
relatively cheap seats, I guess.
It feels like the higher up you get in these arenas, the more straight down those steps go.
Yeah, you would much rather walk up the steps.
Yeah, than down.
Yes.
And every time I've been in those kind of seats, like the lower you are in these stadiums, the flatter it feels, but the higher up, the more it feels. Avery is very scared of heights, all right? And he says it's because I used to put him on the fridge when he was a baby, and I don't think that's the reason.
Did you put him on the fridge as a baby?
It was all in fun. Okay. We were having fun.
Not for him.
I guess not. But when he got here, we sat over here out in the Comerica backyard. We sat up in these seats next to us. And he was like, I don't want to sit there. I'll go stand somewhere else and watch the game.
Wow.
Because of the way you kind of are looking over
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised, Kevin, more people don't stumble down. With
I'm
all
with
the
you.
Drinking that happens,
I'm
too, that more people don't stumble down the steps and take more of those types of dives. I'm always very nervous when I'm doing it, and I'm very particular and pay a lot of attention whenever I'm in these stadiums now.
So I'm curious if more people around have that same kind of concern or have seen an incident like this. By the way, somebody was asking, Pittsburgh Public Safety this morning said that the incident was being treated as an accident and that the man remained in the hospital in critical condition.
It was a long fall, dude.
Yeah, and it was...
He might be lucky he was drunk. I mean, I know this sounds weird, but whenever you're drunk like that, you're not reacting
up
the same way to stiffen up, and you're kind of loose. So he might be fortunate that he had been drinking like that.
Interestingly enough, I've heard that about car accidents when they're like, mm-hmm. you'll hear people who won't like tighten up like you might think. But so as of this morning, he was still in critical condition. I'm sure we'll get more updates. I don't know exactly the extent of all of his injuries, but that was a big fall. And then, of course, somebody brought up what happened in 2011. Look, it's impossible not to remember that for a lot of people. For us, we were like 6 months into doing part-time radio here at The Fan.
We were filling in for G-Bag at night.
Yeah, when Shannon Stone died from a fall.
Which, again, Josh Hamilton already had enough things on his ledger.
Yeah.
And whenever he was just trying to do a nice thing and throw a baseball up to a dad and his kid, and then that happens, Josh Hamilton must have felt miserable for that. And that's brutal. And, you know, they have the statue, obviously, that's representative of that. But, yeah, somebody texted in and said, I figured it would happen more at baseball stadiums, especially with people reaching over for foul balls and home runs. And you see that all the time. There were people are reaching out. I'm very nervous for those people that are trying to catch that, because they're looking up, for one, and they're just hoping that whatever's underneath them is holding them up.
You know, somebody texted in, it's an outlier, no different than John Elway's golf cart accident. It's funny that you bring up that example. We were talking about this off air, and that's another thing that we said, because of the drunkenness involved sometimes with golfing, maybe a lot of times with golfing, we're surprised that doesn't happen more often. And I'm not saying it's not an outlier, but can you just imagine, like, your friend or your dad or your cousin or whatever, it's like, oh, hey, he went to go play golf, he's dead.
Yeah.
Or, hey, he went to the baseball game, he's dead.
Happens every day.
Yeah.
That where these type, not necessarily this type of thing.
No,
but
I get it.
Where
you
left the morning and then you're not there that evening. And Kevin, like, They're probably right in the outlier world.
Sure.
Because think about this. How many people are in this stadium today?
Yeah.
How many? And then
probably going to be at least 30,000.
Multiply that by 162 for one team.
Yeah.
And then you multiply that over, and how many is it a year? Maybe one? Maybe two?
And that's
why we ask the question, are you surprised it doesn't happen more? And yes, I am.
Because, yeah, honestly, I am surprised that it doesn't happen more. And somebody brought up the idea of, like, if you're in the emergency rows or the exit rows for the airline, that you can't drink, if you'd be able to monitor something like that. The issue that you run into is obviously just a simple matter of square footage. Like, obviously, in the airplane, you're contained.
Mm-hmm.
And you can keep a much better eye on than, hey, when we fill this place up, it's 40,000 people. Where are you going? To the bathroom. Are you sure that's where you're going? You're not going to take a beer into the bathroom? You know, like, that's going to be exceedingly harder to police. I think that's not a bad idea.
Mm.
I just really feel like logistically that would be tough to enforce.
Yeah, man. It's scary. It's definitely scary. I mean, somebody did point out, what about the guy that fell from the second deck? Didn't he fall and he broke his back on the seats?
Yeah.
And, like, that's another one that, like, again, be careful when you go to the stadium. Take care of, make sure your alcohol content is right. Be, you know what your limits
yes.
are. This is just like gambling. Know what your limits are whenever you're drinking.
You know, and
or
and,
even when you're sober, you could still fall. Like
yes.
That.
Oh, absolutely. Because think about it, at a baseball game, how many people are like reaching for a ball or whatever? When we were at the Prudential Center, they do the thing where they, you know, like drop the prizes from the ceiling. And Jess and I sat in our chair, and I was like, if that thing falls into my lap, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, like, I am not reaching over the glass or anything like that just for fear of that happening. And the issue about, you're right about moderation, but if people are wondering if the alcohol thing is ever going to change, there's just too much money in it sports-wise. And how many people come to games that maybe wouldn't if they couldn't drink? I'm dead serious about that.
And I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know if we have Elway discussion further in our
show.
Yeah,
you can bring it up now.
But we heard that late in the show yesterday.
Yeah.
As we were leaving, it was brought up. And it had happened over the weekend, I believe, or it's a couple of days ago, and it was just now that he actually passed away. That's, dude, you go out on the golf course, a lot of guys, Kevin, you asked often, like, what is the point? You're like, you know,
socialize and drink. Yeah.
Have a few beers with your buddies play some golf and have a good time. And you don't think of anything happening like that. And it's not like anybody's even, when you get to the golf course, nobody's even saying, hey, watch out for this. You just don't have that kind of thing happen that often. It's scary, man.
And then from the 972, the 817. I'm shocked at how many people hold babies and their children fall right by the rails, and you'd be concerned that they might fall. I'm with you. From the 817, those little parachute things at the Mavs game, it's usually like a $5 Wingstop gift card, which is awesome, but like in that moment, I was like, no, if it comes right to me. I mean, if I was in the second row of the lower deck, and you're like, hey, you might trip over somebody, embarrass yourself, then yeah, I'm probably going to go for it. But yeah, there's a lot of feedback here, and I appreciate it. I'm glad it doesn't happen more often. I just wanted to throw out there that honestly, I'm surprised that it doesn't happen more often.
And I don't know what responsibility stadiums have beyond what they've done already.
Yeah.
Other than get rid of the second level. You can only have a short outfield. You know, like those things aren't going
to
happen.
Though. I think it's just going to go back to, hey, it's really sad. We'll honor that person and then we'll just move on. Because, like, financially or numbers wise, it probably doesn't make sense for them to do anything else. Now, a couple of other things I wanted to throw out there in the collegiate sports world. Did you see that Texas has a payroll coming up for the football season of approximately $35 to $40 million. Now, that led to a particularly scathing rebuke from Maggie Gray in the last Sports Minute, because it's about twice as much as any other team. So let's throw that out there. And then in college basketball, you have seen a big drop-off in the number of people who put in their candidacy for the draft. Now, 4 years ago, 363 people declared for the NBA draft.
Okay.
Keep in mind, there's 60 picks.
All right.
So
363 and 60 picks.
At best, dang, about 1/6 of you guys are going to get selected. And now that number is shrunk to 106. And part of that's NIL. We could talk about that. But just think about that for a second. It's shrunk to 106. But that still means 46 of those people
don't have a chance.
Are not going to get drafted.
They're going to go to the G League.
Yeah.
Or they're going to have to go overseas. And
even if you get taken in the second round, sometimes that can propel you to the NBA, but sometimes that can propel you
to being a high school basketball coach.
Yes, or a lot of years in the G League. And so it's amazing that it had dropped this far. And you brought it up off air, no doubt, because of NIL.
Yeah.
And like, hey, I can get paid and just stay in school. But it's amazing to see how short the draft still is. And they're like, hey, almost half of you guys aren't even going to get drafted.
Yeah, and it is wild. I mean, obviously, the roster sizes are completely different, you know, in other sports. You see those drafts go so much deeper in the talent pool. The talent pool is different. Kevin, I mean, you're talking this year. You're excited that there might be like six
draft.
Or ten.
Yeah.
You know, like you're
that's
excited
true.
About this.
But once we get to like where the Mavs will probably be picking, then you don't feel like top end talent. And that's weird because even when you were picking at 12 for the Cowboys, you didn't think like, hey, it's going to be Abdul Carter. But you're like, man, we should get a damn good starter straight away. If you get taken 12th in the NBA draft, you are by no means a guaranteed starter straight away.
You think Whataburger's like serving food yet? You think they're opened up and they got burgers cooking yet?
Yeah.
I think we need to order some Whataburger right
okay.
now. Yeah. I mean, man, the only thing that could satisfy me obviously is some Dickies.
True.
But right here around the corner, I got that Whataburger, and we love us some Whataburger too.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Globe Life Field, and coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus Shannon Sharpe's grave just keeps getting deeper, but in a more fun way, next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Alec, I don't think I've ever said this sentence in my life.
He's so pumped about this.
Oh, no.
I am excited because the Tony Award nominations have been released.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard Kevin say.
And one of the two plays that we went to go see in New York, John Proctor is the villain. That has been nominated for 7 Tonys, including Best Play.
So congratulations.
I need you guys to be excited for me because I don't feel like this situation will ever pop up again.
You might go to more plays.
I guess.
Future. Who knows?
Man. Yeah. So
I love when Alec goes,
That's like, just my sign of doubt. I'm like, huh, okay.
Yeah, that's a great story. What else you got? All right, now it's time for AM on the FM.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, 0 for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. Kevin, you did give me a great idea, though. You know, like whenever
you're... Good, that means I could talk more about the Tonys. You know, the three people that I thought were the best actor in that play have all been nominated for Tonys as well. I thought you needed to know that.
Mm. You know, you did give me a great idea, and Corey, I'll give you credit for this, too. You know, like whenever you're at a party or something, get together, you have that one overly drunk friend or whatnot that's just spewing life stories and stuff. You hit him with that, damn, that's crazy. That's going to be what means now.
Mm-hmm.
That it's going to have like a triple entendre there.
And you don't hear this often, but this is one of the downsides of never getting drunk. You can't blame your behavior away on anything. Like, I can't ever say, oh, my God, Kevin told the most rambling and boring story. I can't be like, oh, sorry, I was drunk, or he said something I didn't care for. Oh, I was drunk. No, that's just me.
That's Kevin.
That's my personality that people don't care for.
And we were just talking about that at the concert on Saturday, me and my
about
buddies.
About me?
No, not about you, just about me. We were... I don't know how my 21st birthday got brought up, but it did. And my buddy Anthony was like, dude, You don't remember any of it, but you were giving the, you know, I love you guys speeches and stuff. And I was like, oh, God, I don't want to hear any of this. This is awful. But anywho, it is time for AM on the FM. We got the question of the day, 877-881-1053. The Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer said question. And then I got some audio I got to play because Shannon Sharpe's grave, metaphorically, is getting deeper. This way, this time, it's not legally. It's just in a fun way.
You know what's funny about that, Alec? I'm sorry, and I can't see you face to face as easily.
He wants to look into your eyes.
I thought you were going to play a different one, and then the fact that you were like, no, it's an other different one for Shannon Sharpe, that I was like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah, like this one's, it's actually sports related. It's kind of fun. We'll get to it here in a second, actually. I do want to set up the question of the day, though, because I look at today's calendar. Not only is it May 1st, which that feels insane, but it is also National Investing Day. And I would like to know from you guys in the Tolos, what's the biggest investment that you're the most proud of? And it doesn't have to be monetary. You know, it could be maybe you started a sports card collection, or it could be an investment you made in yourself, something that you invested in and you're very proud of it. 877-881-1053. We'll answer those here in a minute because I do want to make sure we get to this audio since you kind of touched on it there, Kevin. But we know what happened yesterday with the Lakers, and it wasn't anything impressive by any means. The Timberwolves take that series in dominant fashion, and I just want to set this up with a couple of clips that I kind of molded together from Shannon Sharpe. Over the past couple of weeks, he's very confident in the Lakers, right? So much so that he was on ESPN all over the place with different little metaphors and whatnot that he was spewing out.
I'm going to put it to you like this here. I'm going to put it to you like this here, Legs. OKC, KFC, UFC, Lakers in five. When Luka playing like that, we got Gold James. It don't matter. It don't matter. Divorce court, child support, Lou Dort. Lakers in five.
Lakers in five every single time. And as Anthony Edwards was walking back to his respective locker room, these guys are chronically on social media, especially these younger players. Anthony Edwards heard that, and he had his own.
Lakers in five. Ant-Man, Batman, Superman, Lakers in five.
He said Ant-Man, Batman, Superman, Lakers in five as he was walking back to his locker room. So these players, they hear and see a lot more than they claim they do, and I just thought that was awesome as he was walking back down the tunnel.
So let's think about this for a second. I know it was super neat what Shannon Sharpe said, and it had fun alliteration and kind of felt like it would rhyme. Let's break down the content. The content of what he said was nonsense. OKC, KFC, UFC. Okay, sure. If the Lakers were playing a bunch of fried chicken or a bunch of trained MMA fighters in a basketball game, I also agree that they should be able to handily win that series.
I don't know, dude. The fouls in that MMA bout are going to be pretty intense.
What about the fouls in the chicken one, though?
Oh, my gosh. I love chicken.
Poultry.
Man, Corey really is hungry.
I'm so hungry right now.
I'm sorry, Alec. I know my Tony's talk distracted you, but Corey is only half here right now.
Yeah.
He's like, I just need a place to be open and give
this
me
This does
food.
Not happen to me typically, but today I am definitely in that place.
So the other one, Alec, and I get why this is significantly more fun. Did you see the other one where he's like some After Dark podcast?
Yeah.
And the presumption is that it's that lady talking in the background. Goes. And then he just looked at the camera and he's like, ha ha, this is the neighbors. And I'm just like, no, it wasn't.
Yeah, Peyton showed
lady.
Me that video this morning and I was like, oh no, he's not helping himself in any way here.
Yeah.
Like, that whole situation is already ugly, and it seems like as the days go on, we're getting more and more stuff that's not really helping his case. And, you know, if anything, we can walk away from this and say he's just a weirdo, you know, at the very minimum, because there's a lot of stuff going on in the background that we don't know about. But, you know, we'll let the process play out. But at minimum, I'm going to say Shannon Sharpe is a freak. Like, at the very minimum, if he's exonerated from all of this, at the very minimum, he's a very active man. And I don't want to know any more about his personal life if it's not in a legal manner. So let's go back to the question of the day for National Investing Day. Something that you are proud of that you invested in, 877-881-1053. I'll say for me, You know, if I'm not going to go in the metaphorical sense, I'm really proud of, like, the investment that I've made in my health and my body. Because, you know, whenever I started this job, you guys remember, you guys were the first people that I met when I interviewed up here.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I walked in and I was maybe a $1.20 soaking wet. Mm-hmm. Like, I was literally straight out of high school. I was, you know, distance runner, so I was super lean and everything. I wasn't really focused on being the most massive human being, and on top of not being very tall, that's not a great combination there. But I kind of realized, huh, if I want to be respected like an adult, I kind of need to look like one. So I grew the hair out, grew out the facial hair, and put on about 45 pounds, and here we are. So I'm proud of that, but I will say that I am pretty proud of what I've got going with the sports card collection.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of what I'm doing there, especially the wrestling cards and the Dallas Card Show coming up this weekend. I plan on being there.
It starts
today. It does, and I plan on being there over the weekend. I don't know exactly what days, but like, I finally got a case yesterday to carry my PC so I can take it with me to the show.
Nice.
And show people, maybe sell some stuff, hopefully add to the collection. I'm going to submit some stuff for some grading as well, so I'm really excited about that and growing that collection. I'm very proud of that. What are you guys proud of in terms of investments?
So two different times I made money off of the...
Can you just clip that part out,
yeah,
Alec, for tomorrow? That's a really good brag right there. Two different times I made money
off of wrestling stock.
I have become Joe Mazzulla.
Yes, I say the weirdest things. First, the WWF stock, when it made its initial public offering, I think it was like in 99, late 99, when I saw what the price was coming out on that and how hot they were and how they were putting WCW away, I was like, that's way too low. And so I think for that one, I got in whatever the initial price was. I think it was like $12, give or take. And I sold it off at more than 20 a share, and I sunk a good bit into that, and I was stoked about that. And then again, years ago, when it was starting to come up in the world and the WWE Network was about to get moved over to Peacock and everything, I picked it up at around 50, quite a few shares, and sold off at like 80 or 81.
Ooh.
So I was pretty stoked that I was able to do that twice.
That is cool.
Twice,
man.
Is crazy. What a flex.
Yeah, you know, the Trevor Lawrence card was an awesome gamble.
Did you make like 8-10 times your money on that?
Yeah, I bought the thing for $75 and then sold it for $888, I believe, something like that.
Mm.
And I asked Kevin. This is that due diligence part of investing.
Yeah.
I said, Kevin, what do you think? And you were like, well, and you gave me all the ideas. I said, all right, I think this is a worthwhile investment, and I pulled the right card. I got the right one myself. But I also, since we've gone out, I've been able to pick up a couple of pieces here and there, and I've watched that they've grown over time as well. I will say, aside from my investment emotionally in Alex's career, I've been very invested in that.
Right.
You know, I sent you a text a long time ago about this, and how good he is, how good he is at what he does. I'll have to say, the first house Adrian and I bought, that was a significant investment.
Yeah.
It gained so much in property value that we were able to buy another house at a very significant price.
Better house.
And a better house. And then the second house that we bought, the prices and property went so high that we were able to double that up and move over and get an even better, in what I feel is a better house.
In Plano.
Because of that. And now, you know, next thing, Lamborghini. You know, it's a paperclip to Lamborghini thing, but the home investment has been a very beneficial thing for our family.
You know what I like, Alec, is so many people are talking about the investments that they made in themselves.
Yes.
From the 214, I'm really proud of the investment I made in my sobriety, 5 years clean as of this year. That is freaking awesome. From the 817, I made an investment in my health and I quit drinking. From the 469, I invested my spare time doing commentary for a small esports tournament and found out broadcasting is what I love. Does that count? You're damn right. That absolutely counts. And then from the 817, longtime listener, I'm a photographer and I've got a meeting upcoming on Wednesday with an organization on helping me start and run a successful business. Invest in yourself.
I love these stories.
Yeah, did you read the one about the guy, the Southlake body shop?
No.
The guy said 13 years ago he started an auto body shop, still here in Southlake, still broke because the city is outrageously expensive. But he has his body shop.
Yeah.
And when you run your business, you don't answer to a boss, and that's a cool thing.
I do like that.
That's That's incredible. Some great stories coming in, and keep those coming in for National Investment Day, 877-881-1053. And Corey, appreciate the nice words, sir, even though whenever it comes to height, they're not so nice. I appreciate the career-based words. Those are always very kind
Still
and
very
make me
proud
feel
of
good.
You, man.
That means a lot. Thanks, man. And one last thing before I give way. Katie Ledecky is just a badass, and I just wanted that to be known. She made the swimming debut at the age of 15 at the London Olympics back in 2012. Somehow she's even faster at 28 after many, many years of doing this stuff. She holds 22 of the fastest times in history for the 1500. And at the 2025 Pro Swim Series in Fort Lauderdale, she swam 15:24.41 to beat a second place finisher, Jillian Cox, by almost 40 seconds. Not only did she beat the second place winner by almost 40 seconds, she also clocked in the third fastest time in history for that event this week. Incredible stuff that she is doing after a decade plus long career. She is still insanely dominant, and it just gets me even more excited for the Summer Olympics and really just the Olympics in general. I've told you guys a million times how excited I get over that stuff, but the fact that she is still dominant and putting up record times this far into her career, I just wanted to give a tip of the cap. She's an absolute badass.
Kevin, you know, when we were working at the newspaper, we would go cover swimming events.
Yep.
And whenever I got to go cover the state swimming tournament. It was awesome. But there was a buzz in that pool hall. I don't know what to call it, honestly.
I like it.
Aquatic center. There was a buzz in Austin of some, I can't remember who she was, but she was coming up to swim the backstroke. And everybody was like, she's going to set a national record today. Watch. And she did. And the whole place like knew it. And everybody got excited because they all know each other.
Yeah.
I can only imagine in those types of environments what that's like. You don't take it for granted whenever you're watching a Ledecky live in the arena.
The moment I realized it is when the single camera setup didn't work for the Olympics anymore in swimming. They were like,
we got to go underneath the water.
These are all the other people that are in the race. Katie Ledecky is not on the screen because she's not on the same side of the pool. That's how far ahead she was. That was the first time that I was like, oh my God, is she going to like lap somebody? This is freaking amazing. For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, live from Globe Life Field. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, the must-watch games of the 2025 NFL season. Next on the Fan.
Goff up under center, turns, fakes to Montgomery, sets in the pocket, throws, end zone, caught, touchdown, Detroit Lions, Tim Patrick, second of the night, they've got the lead back.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got some Gridiron Gravy coming up in just a minute. But you know what, Corey? You brought up that we saw Corey Seager taking batting practice, and you were like, who is pitching to him?
Yeah.
So minor leaguers Thomas Ireland and Florencio Serrano were the ones who were pitching to him.
Luck of the Irish, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe so. Seager also...
Why don't we have a Johnny America rocking around, you know? You never hear that.
Don't we? Isn't that what Hulk Hogan was for back in the day?
But was that his name? Was his name John America?
No, at one point he portrayed Mr. America.
Oh, really?
So,
okay. All right.
Not really that far off.
He had a little tiara.
Yeah, no, okay. Look, we'll talk about that off air. And so Corey Seager did some running as well. He's hopeful that he can be activated on Saturday when he's eligible. Now, we had a feeling that this was going to happen. Kyle Higashioka, he did go on the 10-day injured list, and that was one of the reasons that precipitated Dane Dunning getting DFA'd yet again, because they needed to make another move. And so that's retroactive to yesterday. So hopefully that's a good sign that they think he'll be ready to go in 9 days. We can chat that up a little bit more with Jared in just a bit.
Yeah, that's the question I want to ask Jared for sure, is with Seager, is he pressing to get back? And is that going to be a problematic for him? Or with him, is it just, look, man, let him play when he can, and he's going to get injured at some point, and it's going to happen, so
just
work your way through it.
Yeah, maybe. In the meantime, time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some Gridiron Gravy.
Dip.
Yes, Corey.
We've been doing this radio show for almost 20 years now.
Well.
That's so
not really, actually. We've been friends for that long.
14 years. Oh, my Lord.
14 years doing a radio show together.
Oh, that's a
and
long time.
Sometimes I still feel like it's day one, you know, like we're just, we started over.
When we weren't good?
When yeah, sometimes I still feel like that. Not necessarily the content. But whenever we get out here, the amount of people that walk by and say Tolo
yeah.
and want to say hi everything still to this day amazes me, because when those doors open in just a minute, it's going to be a flood of Tolos walking through here. And that's one of the cool things about working at this station, having these fans, man. They're awesome.
It sounds like the most pretentious sentence, but I had to text Jess about potentially picking up Noah today from preschool. And I was like, it'll depend on how many people want to talk on the way back to the car. But I didn't mean it in like a,
no, it's a real
look
thing.
At me. I was like, it'll depend. If nobody cares, then I'll get to my car.
Famous.
And I know, Mike, I know. And I should be able to make it in time. If they do, then it's going to be questionable. All right. So I wanted to bring this up. Mike Florio is reporting that almost 2,000 people received the email with Shador Sanders' phone number. Now, it's not just Shador. They didn't just send out the one, but like with the different players' phone numbers. It is really weird, too, that so much of this is focused on Shador, even though we're up to like 7 or 8 players now that got prank called as well. But almost 2,000 people got that list of phone numbers.
Dang.
Do you not need like a point person or two at a team?
Yeah,
and be like, share the number.
Doesn't it kind of seem like the $100,000 fine for Ulbrich now is kind of like, hey, dude, look, all these other people have the number, too. Like,
yeah, I think the NFL should have fined itself for being so reckless with that information.
There's a lot of people getting this stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, seriously, so more than 60 people per team needed this information?
I will say this, though, because I don't know if they're still doing it, but doesn't it feel like that Shador's group is still doing kind of a documentary series? There's cameras around him all the time. This was beneficial. It's content. Like, it's content that they can definitely use on whatever show they want.
How much would you love it if it came out that they reimbursed Ulbrich and his son $100,000 and set that up to be part of the reality show?
I would believe it. I would totally be like, yep, that's pretty awesome.
So I've got the top 10 games of the 2025 NFL season, but then I realized, do I really care that much? So I'm just going to tell you the top 5 rapid fire. If you want to talk about it, great. If not, we'll just move on with our lives. Kansas City at Buffalo.
Kevin, I want to stop and talk about that one.
Son of a
I really do. Here's why. That is the battle of the two
Hallmark movies.
Well-known female talents. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And, right, you know, Taylor Swift has owned it for a while. Hailee Steinfeld is now taking over. And I know, Kevin, we said this a while back. You were like, she's not well known enough. It has happened. This movie, Sinners, that is out right now, it is taking a storm of that scene.
Oh, man, I want to see it, too.
Yeah, everybody's in on this right now, and she has rocketed up the charts here. So that is one that's all I really wanted to talk about. The game itself will be fun, too, I guess.
Now, Alec, what would you think about the potential? I'm going to propose this right now. I know it's probably not going to work because SummerSlam would be too close to the season. But here is my proposal. You go John Cena, Josh Allen, and Hailee Steinfeld in a 6-person intergender match against Cody Rhodes, Travis Kelce, and Taylor Swift.
I'm all in.
Yeah, see?
That'd be awesome.
That you would be.
Just like Jerry Jones.
Just making an overbooked masterpiece, kind of like the WrestleMania 40 main event, and I'm all the way there. Like, you know, just have Stephon Diggs come out of nowhere because, you know, he used to play for the Bills. He goes in there and, you know, tries to beat up Josh Allen or something because they hate each other or whatever.
It'll be counteracted by Blake Lively going full heel and really turning on Taylor Swift.
Jeez.
Like, dude, hey, we got something
here. We're printing money, Kevin.
Yes. Printing money. Second on the list, Detroit at Philadelphia. Third, the Rams at the Ravens. Eagles at the Chiefs is fourth. And then fifth, Bengals at the Bills. If you're curious, are there any Cowboys games on the list? No. No, there are not. Speaking of the Cowboys.
Because their biggest excitement is Tyler Booker. That's the, and I know, look,
what's
that's not
point?
Sexy, it's, but it is the, like, that's the, that was their draft pick that everybody, your first round draft pick, people get excited about,
yeah.
And it's Tyler Booker, and we're excited, I like the player, but I know the rest of the country is like, an offensive lineman? Meh.
Now, I might have to revise my running back predictions.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did say, I wonder what they're going to do with Malik Davis. Well, the Cowboys heard, and they said, here's what we're going to do with Malik Davis. We're going to effing cut him.
Oh, no.
So it happened already. So Malik Davis is out. So now the running back room, Phil Maffa, Jaden Blue, the two rookies.
Maffa's the starter?
No, I'm just listing people.
Okay, I thought that was
this
the
is
order.
Not in particular order. We still don't have a starter. Deuce Vaughn, Miles Sanders, and Javonte Williams. So again, you'd think they would only keep four. Maybe they only keep three if they go with a fullback. Maybe that person isn't even on the roster yet. But yeah, Malik Davis, they're like, you don't factor into our
players. Yeah, and I kind of, that was the name, Kevin, that I kind of saw that happening to him. Deuce obviously has a connection there. They still want to see Deuce through, honestly. They want to see that how that, if they can get something out of him. And Malik has kind of bounced back and forth with this team for quite some time now and never quite stuck around. So that made a lot of sense after the draft that they would make some housekeeping adjustments like that.
The Eagles went ahead and declined the fifth-year option on Kenyon Green, or Kenyon Green, if you're fancy, as we got up to that deadline. Are you fancy?
Sometimes.
All right. And then speaking of the Bills, which we were, I guess, a couple of minutes ago, they went ahead and added Elijah Moore to the roster. One-year deal worth potentially up to $5 million. It's crazy to think. He's 25.
Dude, I thought he was going to be fantastic. And both locations that he ended up in were bad locations for him. And I don't know that this one's, you know, that much better for him because the chaos that is the receiver position at that team.
Jordan Travis, the former Florida State quarterback, who at one point, man, he looked like he had the potential to be big time. He said that he has gone ahead and retired. His leg just didn't respond the way that he needed it to, and so his football career is over. If you go back a few years, I really thought he had, like, a good bit of potential to make it to the NFL, and then we'll see from there.
Yeah, man, when an injury like that, you know, plagues you, it's and you can never recover. That's something, too. I wonder mentally what you go through when you're years away from the league and what you knew you were. It's got to be like that guy that was great in high school, and then he's, like, he lived off that forever. But you're like, you know what, I can't even imagine that I could because I wasn't able to.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Globe Life Field in Arlington. Coming up next, it's baseball time in Texas, so we'll talk to the birthday boy himself, Jared Sandler. Plus, remember, in the noon o'clock hour, we got that Chris Brown ticket giveaway. It's going to come at you next right here on The Fan.